Josh. Lur. 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 Lur.
Yes, that's right. Wiggle Room, episode number 6 of Survivors, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Josh, how are you?
I am doing well. I gotta say, man, like, I love the Wiggle Room theme song, but I think that that was by far and away just like the best rendition of the Wiggle Room theme song. I don't know if like that sounded the same to everybody else, but to me, it just sounded especially poignant today.
Yes. Okay. Well, Josh Wiggler and I are recording this. I sent Josh a picture of what this setup looks like to record the Wiggle Room and the wand off today. And Josh, could you paint the picture of what it looks like here?
Yeah, I'm staring at the picture on my phone that you sent to me. You have two laptops that are open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now I travel with two laptops now.
You've got two laptops.
Because I'm fancy, but because that's what it takes to record the Wiggle Room.
Oh, you fancy. You've got two laptops that are open. You've got two sets of headphones in play as well. You've got a Zoom recorder just as a backup, it would appear, plus your normal microphone. But I'm really burying the lead. This is all like built around a bed setup.
Yeah.
You've got one laptop on what appears to be the head of the bed.
Yeah.
And one laptop on like a, is this like a very low coffee table you've got going on here?
Yeah. So I'm sitting on a mattress that's on the floor. And then there's a, there's like a snack table, which has my microphone and my laptop. And you know that this is just where I'm set up doing podcasts on the road. Glamorous hashtag podcast life.
I mean, it doesn't look that dissimilar to just like how I normally podcast. Like I'm literally covered in blankets right now. So, you know, this is pretty much just the regs for me. But it's impressive. This is an impressive setup.
I mean, you've got and wires and laptops.
Double mons. You're doing dual mons right now. Yeah. It's a road to do dual mons on the road, I think, is really a feat, Rob. So your commitment, it is on full display.
Okay. So, and we are on the road this week. We are getting ready for our live know-it-alls coming up on Wednesday night. We are going to be at Lincoln Square, the AMC 13. This is going to be the biggest show that we've ever done. And I'm going to put it out there also. So maybe the biggest show that we ever do, because I think that this is there's a lot going on to try to make this happen. And I think I might just be like, OK, well, I think I might just retreat to what's comfortable after this. But yeah, this is going to be a scene on Wednesday night.
The Survivor Know-It-Alls, the movie, is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really only, I don't do a sequel unless, like, you've really got a great story for it, I think, is the lesson. So, if Know-It-Alls, the movie, is really, really great, don't just, try to recapture the magic just for the sake of it. Just, like, be happy that it worked.
Yeah, we're going to be watching the show on the big screen. I mean, this is like an 800-person theater that we're going to be in on Wednesday night. So, it's going to be really crazy that the theater is like two levels. It's really insane. If you want to be there with us in person, that you could still buy tickets. You could probably also walk up and buy tickets at the door. But if you want to be, have peace of mind, robhasawebsite.com/s35kia. Josh Wiggler will be there. He will be in his glory.
I will be, what's my glory?
I don't know.
I'm going to just be covered in pizza and like singing Wanderazzi.
Yes.
That's my happy place.
That's your happy place. All right. So we've got a lot to get to, of course. The wand off to come later on. Let's not spend too much time on that right here, lest we get just a bunch of angry social media messages from the anti-wand off crowd. Let's talk story, Josh. Let's bring it back. Let's talk about Allie and everything going on.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about any of that angry stuff.
We'll get to it. But Allie, your winner pick, Josh, sadly, she ended up going out. And I feel like the story of Allie is destiny unfulfilled.
Destiny unfulfilled. Oh, my God. I mean, like, that's like Sandra naming the first episode of Survivor Game Changers, The Unknown. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just like,
I forgot
that's
about that.
Good. That's great. How could you forget The Unknown? Don't forget it when we have to record that chapter.
I will, because we'll rewatch it right before then.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be a nice reminder. Destiny unfulfilled. Why? Because she was the princess who was promised, and that didn't go through. And like she was supposed to slay her way to the end, and she was supposed to be the victor of this season.
I don't know if she was supposed to be, but I just felt like that the show, like she was featured prominently, and she got a lot of airtime for a person. I mean, and I guess, you know, an appropriate amount of airtime because she was involved in a lot of these storylines, where I just feel like that she was set up to be a big figure in this season. And was she perfect? No. Was she flawless? Certainly not. But I do feel like that she did seem like she had a lot of chops, and to have her go out here pre-merge, it seems like it wasn't right.
It's disappointing for sure. I mean, Allie was my winner pick, so I'm bummed on that.
A lot of people had her as a winner pick.
Yeah, she's a good winner pick because I think that she's got a lot of qualities that you look for in a really strong Survivor player, at least on paper. And I think that once the episodes started, it really felt like a lot of that was being put into practice. I maintain I am really impressed by how she handled the whole Patrick situation and how she was able to dismantle that entire combustible situation that she found herself in on the first day of the game. I think that's all great. She clearly had a lot of trust in Ryan, which was trust in the wrong guy. I think that after Ryan decides he's going to move forward with Chrissy and JP and vote out Rourke and, you know, agitate Allie in the process, I hate it, but I feel like he's got no other move but to, you know, to cut Allie before the merge if they're going to go back to tribal council. So no harm, no foul in the way Ryan played that aspect of it. I think he did what he had to do, but it's a bummer to lose Allie. It's a bummer for sure to lose her this early on, but I do think that, like, doesn't it feel like we're seeing like a little bit of a change in the tide in terms of like the perception of like the pre-merge player? I mean, you know, Kelly Wentworth coming back in Second Chance and now being, you know, a fallen angel right at the gate. She now has that reputation. I know we were saying, is Rourke going to be Kelly Wentworth Unchained in the future? Does Allie have that potential as well? For Game Changers, even we saw people who went out in the pre-merge were brought onto that season, like Brad Culpepper, like Michaela. I feel like a lot of these people, even if they went out pre-merge, some of these new players, as long as they made a splash, as long as it seemed like they had that potential, that destiny that's been unfulfilled, I think that they're often looked at now to maybe get that second shot. So I would be really I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see Allie play again at some point down the line. In fact, I might be more surprised if we don't see Allie play again.
I think the biggest thing working against her is that I feel like coming off of Game Changers, I think that there is a perception that Survivor is sort of reticent to go with All-Stars. So I think the biggest gating issue is I don't know the next time Survivor is going to bring people back. I know that it's like a very common talking point, who's coming back, but I just get the sense that we are not going to be bringing people back anytime soon. And if we wait too long, might she be forgotten about?
I don't necessarily feel that way. I think that we might bring people back soon in the not too distant future. I think that like some other version of Second Chance, whether it's Second Chance 2
or some
other voting apparatus, like I do think like that is going to be back in play before too much longer. I don't know about next year soon or the year after that, but I feel like not terribly long from now. And I think when you think about like what that pool looks like, I think that there's a lot of people from recent seasons that you could see being brought back into the conversation for that. And Allie would be very high on that list for me. And I bet for a lot of people as well. So I'd be curious to see it. I'd be down for it. Whether or not it happens, who knows? I really spent the entire episode thinking that it was going to be JP's swan song this week, though. So when we got to Tribal Council, like even though logic dictated that Allie should be the right person to send home here, I was just very, very thoroughly convinced that it was going to be JP. The Survivor gods have a great sense of humor, Rob, and I thought that it would just be too funny for JP to go home the same week, the same weekend that the new Thor movie was coming out. Like, just felt like the right thing to happen. Like, I just felt like that was the way it was supposed to go.
Yeah, and obviously that's because that he has a dog named Thor. What is it? Ragnarok?
Thor Ragnarok?
Ragnarok?
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. Great movie. Wiggler recommends. Two thumbs up for sure. Yeah, it's great. The Hulk's in it. He's funny. Thor makes jokes.
Yeah.
And there's great music. Very colorful. Jeff Goldblum's hanging out. Jeff Goldblum, one of the good guys, Rob. One of the good ones. Jeff Goldblum's in there. Yeah. Do you want to talk about Thor or Survivor? We could talk about both.
Let's keep talking about Survivor.
We could talk about the story of Thor.
Yeah. We could talk about Noah Syndergaard if you want. But no, I want to bring it back to your exit interview with Ali, because I thought that she said something that was very interesting. Josh, you had asked her about the Survivor pizza. I know that you are one of the great pizza connoisseurs of our time. And I thought that this was interesting. Potentially, I want to see if you subscribe to this. Was this an RHAP shout out that she gave you in your answer when you asked her how was the pizza? She said, "I mean, you're starving out there, so it definitely did the job. I guess I can say this now, though, when you mention poo, you're through. But it did run right through me," which then laughter. Perhaps TMI from Ali, but I wanted to see if you thought that this was a connection after last week's voicemail show with Jessica Leese, when we talked about this question from Jason.
Hey, Robin, Jessica, Jason from Nashville calling. Last night before the reward challenge, Ryan started talking about how the coffee is not that great of a reward because it'll probably go right through them anyway. So I have a question for you. Does Ryan's talk about bowel movements exclude him from being a winner? I mean, we have our new talk about poo and your through theory.
The talk about poo and your through theory, Josh.
Yeah, yeah. When you poo, you're through. Which I feel like would disqualify everybody at some point.
But if it's shown.
You can hold out as long as you want, but one of these days, the poo's coming through. The bad thing's on its way. That's just inevitable. Yeah, I don't think that it's going to come as any shock to learn that I think people who are playing Survivor just may be listening to the podcast going on here on RHAP. I don't know that they're listening to all 50,000 hours of podcasts you're providing every week. Or if they're only listening to that stuff at like quadruple speed so they can get through everything.
Well, that killed
faster.
Me. That killed me. Because sometimes, we talk about things that we say, okay, this would be good if this made it into the discourse. But I read that and I was like, oh no, not this. Poo and you're through. I don't want to make that a thing.
That's going to be your legacy, Rob. I mean, really, that's Jason's legacy, but you guys can co-share that. I'm sure you can figure out the profit sharing on how you want to move forward with you poo, you're through. Great shirt, though. I mean, I think that would, like, it's too late, I think, at this point to get that printed for the know-it-alls.
Yeah.
But that would sell like hotcakes,
okay.
Which also would go through you.
Sorghum hotcakes. Josh, let's talk about the show.
I also say, just in defense of the Fijian pizza, David Wright coming on here and saying that's the worst.
You said it was so good.
Yeah, well, the Cloud9 pizza I thought was legitimately great. Cloud9 being the reward that was featured in Millennials versus Gen X, where all those guys got to go out on the floating pizzeria that was brought in front of the camp, in front of the beach, so that everybody could see it. I thought Cloud9 was fantastic, and I will swear up and down that Cloud9 is a really great slice of heaven and a great slice of pizza to boot. And I doubt that it was Cloud9 pizza. I bet that it was pizza from the nearby kitchen where they are making a lot of the food that the Survivor staff and crew are all eating. And I've had that pizza as well, Rob. And it's not great. It's not fantastic, but it's pizza. And you're in the middle of Fiji and you're super starved. I'm sure that the pizza's not so bad. Mm-hmm. So in defense of Survivor pizza, having had the pizza that I assumed that they have, that they were eating this week, I think it's okay. I'd give it like 6 out of 10. That's not horrible.
Okay.
No, it's not really passing, but it's not, it could be worse. It could be much worse.
So, Josh, let's get into the story of Survivor, heroes versus healers versus hustlers, going into the merge. What do you feel like are the big storylines that we should be keyed into heading into the Survivor merge?
Oh my God, big question. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on as we're moving into this next phase of Survivor. I mean, first and foremost, I'm kind of just stoked for the merge phase of this season. I may be in the minority of people who I'm really enjoying season 35 right now. Perhaps the closeness to the cast, having talked to them all out there. I feel like I really know these people really well. I'm surprised at the group that's made it through. Like, I'm really kind of shocked that Lauren Rimmer is still in it and JP is still in it. Like, those are people that I would have called as going out before the merge if you had asked me before the season. So the fact that they're still around, that's a surprise. There's a bunch of people who I think have a lot of real potential as players that are still in there. There's some nincompoops in the mix that'll go right through you as well. I am a fan of the people who are a little bit, you know, shaky and wobbly when it comes to playing the game, as long as there aren't too many of them. And I think that there's some interesting people in that regard still in the mix here. So I don't know. I really like the group that we have coming into the merge. Are you happy with the group that we have coming into the merge?
I mean, I think if we could have subbed in Allie instead of JP, with all due respect to the great JP, I think that I'd be very happy with the group.
I think that that would be fine. You know, I think that we got our fill of tri-tip steak salads this past week. I don't know that we needed to bring that.
Have you had one of those?
I've had tri-tip before. I don't know if I've had a tri-tip steak salad. Tri-tip's good. It's like a Southern California steak style, I think.
Yeah. Well, look, you know that I'm a big salad guy, and JP's right about one thing. Tri-tip salad is delicious.
Oh, that's right. You do like the tri-tip salad. I've seen you eat one of those before.
Yeah.
It's not
a
lie. This isn't just a put-on. Like, you actually are a fan of the tri-tip salad.
Yeah, that's what I get at our barbecue place.
How much are you going to discuss tri-tip salads in your inevitable interview with JP Hilsebeck?
I mean, hopefully not too much. I don't know how many people are really interested in it, right?
I mean, I'm pretty interested. I'd like to know. I'd like to know more about JP's dates, like the bonfire, the beach, the salad.
Yeah.
The salad on the beach.
Do you think that's how he won over Ashley? Did he talk about that? And she's like, oh, the beach? I love the beach.
Yeah, I think that seems to work. I mean, now she's like best friends with Devin, who's a surf instructor. So, you know, that's the key to her heart, I think.
Well, can we talk about the Devin, Ashley, JP love triangle potentially going on? And I know Steven gets on me if I talk about these sort of groupings, and he's like, well, we don't have any evidence that that's a thing. But do you feel like that? Is that going to be complicated, or that's going to be no problem, bruh?
I think it's got to be no problem, bruh. Or at the very least, it's not going to be our problem, bruh. I can't imagine that a JP Devin Ashley love triangle is going to become a major story in the merge phase of the game. But if I'm wrong, that means we're in for a ride of a post-merge if that is a front and center storyline. Though imagine that we suddenly find ourselves in a love triangle while we also have this love affair playing out between Cole and Jessica.
A love tri-tip.
Yeah, this love tri-tip. You love tri-tip. Oh my God. Yeah, we could be in for a love tri-tip here, which sounds ver bad. Doesn't sound great. Doesn't sound great. And you know I love Devin, but I'm out on this storyline. I think this is too far for me.
Josh, tell me that I've speculated that I think all of the heroes and hustlers are going to be getting together at the merge. But do you feel like, is this an oversimplification? But when we start to combine all of these personalities together, like, do you feel like that, you know, JP and Devin are going to be able to be on the same page when there's an Ashley involved? Like, is Ben Dreebergen going to be in on Ryan at first sight? Do you think that that group is going to be able to quickly just come together like a Voltron?
I do. I don't know about quickly. You know, I don't know if it's going to be as neat or awesome as it's deep cut, like a tri-tip. I don't know if it's going to be as clean as that. Like, I do think that, like, you could have seen the writing on the wall if, like, Rourke hadn't gone home, where it would have had to be like, all hands on deck. We got to get rid of the healers. They're still six strong. I think that we've seen enough fissures within the healers themselves that makes it hard for me to see them really really wanting to all stay together, whether that's Desi doesn't fully trust Joe or the fact that Dr. Mike is getting, you know, turned on Cole a little bit over at Yawa right now. We've even seen in the past pre-swap Jessica talking about how Cole is, you know, really just like oversharing information and then everything that happened with her secret advantage. I feel like something is itching to give there. I feel like something is about to bottom out. I think that we're probably looking at a healer going home at the top of the merge. And the question for me is which one it's going to be. I have two that are kind of top of mind, though you could really make an argument for almost any of them. The one that I would be surprised to lose right away would be Jessica, but any of the other four, I feel like there's an argument to them getting knocked out here at the top of the merge. But whether or not it's just like all heroes and hustlers, we got to team up, we have to make sure we're knocking out all of the healers and then we can worry about each other, I feel like that's too clean. I think that's too easy. I don't think that that's where we're going, but I do think it could be very likely where we're going, at least for the time being, for this week, for this minute.
Yeah, I actually think that Jessica is potentially in a bad spot. If Cole could win immunity this first time out, I feel like that could be a way that they say, okay, it's like one of those movies where they say, okay, we can't get the guy, so let's get his wife.
Right. I mean, I think
you ever see that movie?
I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen that one. That sounds like a plot that I've never encountered in any sort of medium of any kind.
Yeah, but I do think that and she's my winner pick, but I am feeling nervous about her this week.
A little nervous about her. I mean, I think so that assumes that Cole wins immunity, which I think there's every reason in the world to think that he absolutely could. He is a specimen. I don't know if you check out Cole on Instagram, Rob, but he's been posting lots of like very serious, like rock climbing at like indoor Whoa. Rock climbing facilities. And like, again, like I know I was all about Devin in the preseason, but it's hard to say no to what Cole is putting out there into the universe. So very, very, very nice stuff to look at.
I haven't indulged yet, but maybe You're tempting me.
Give it a whirl. Give it a shot. So I mean, like, he's obviously a crazy, you know, specimen of mankind, and he has a lot of potential to do really well in challenges, depending on what the challenge is. But you know, there's tons of people out there that he's competing against for this first immunity challenge, and I think if Cole doesn't win, he would be my top pick to go this week. Your classic merge boot that, you know, you and Steven like to talk about, that type. I think the fact that he is part of the healers that is the largest still intact original group on this season. If there's a feeling that eyes are going to be towards the healers, we got to get rid of one of those guys. And if Cole is not immune, he seems like a really easy person to pick off, to want to go after anyway. And then factor in the you know, the aspect of that there seems to be cracks within the healers to a certain degree, that Mike does not seem to be all in on Cole anymore. I feel like there has been groundwork on the show for Jessica to turn on Cole and for that to be a dramatic moment. I could see Cole getting knocked out in a pretty big vote against him right at the top of the merge. Unless he's immune, he would be the person I'm coming into this week thinking is probably toast.
You know, one of the healers who I think has had a very interesting arc so far over six episodes is Dr. Mike. And I actually feel like that he is one of the safest healers going into this merge, because we've seen him be able to bond to some degree with Ben and even, you know, have some conversations with Lauren. And because he does not seem like an imposing guy, plus he has an idol, like, I think he's actually set up to have a pretty interesting post-merge. Feel the same way about Dr. Mike?
I hope so. I love Dr. Mike. I think that would be great. And I love that he's got an idol right now. And it seems like he's got a couple of new friends in Ben and Lauren. Look, like, if a Ben, Lauren, and Dr. Mike alliance hero healed and hustled their way into the final three, like, that feels like a fun season to me. So I'm on board with anything that involves those three doing really well here. The fact that he's got an idol, the fact that he's got some padding from four other healers still being in the game, and him being maybe the least intimidating on paper in terms of challenge stuff, even though he is, you know, a very smart guy, and he's actually been underrated, I think, in some of these challenges. I said it before, like the surgical precision of that first immunity challenge with that first table maze, and I think that you've seen moments like that from Mike in the season, even if they've gone without too much mention. So I think that he is a big threat in his own right, but I don't know that anybody is going to be paying too much attention to that, or at least paying too much attention to that too quickly. The lingering thing for me is like the Joe factor, because it really did feel like Joe didn't have like a good hate into Dr. Mike, but had his sights set on him at Healers and wanted Mike to be the healer that they would throw under the bus in the event that they went to Tribal Council. Now, was that just situational for that moment? And could Joe, you know, like completely abandon that idea now that they're all a big merged tribe and he needs the people that he needs, and like Dr. Mike is one of those people? Or will Joe do something crazy that's gonna, you know, get Dr. Mike turned as well? And is there some sort of like idol bomb that's about to go off with these two guys who have the idols in the game? So keeping an eye on that, but that's really the most combustible situation that Mike is facing right now. I think that he should be safe through this first vote at the merge.
Yeah, Joe is in a tough spot because I think that he has shown that he is, you know, one to be able to switch allegiances. I guess he hasn't shown that, but I feel like that he would. Maybe that's just I'm sort of like putting like, you know, what would Tony do, WWTD, in that situation. He has an idol, but I think he's not set up well to switch and jump ship to go to the Heroes and the Hustlers, because he has not made such a great impression on Ashley and Devin, and I don't get the sense that they would want to bring him into the fold. I got the sense that they'd want to target him once they get back with their numbers after the merge. So I feel like that Joe is in a really tight spot.
You know, don't you call him Tony? Don't you know he's Joe? Like, all of that aside, Tony Vlachos is like the easiest analog when you're talking about the Joe Mina game right now. And I think with that said, one of the things that you would see from Tony's arc in Survivor Kagyan in hindsight, when you know that he's going to go on to become the winner and you do that rewatch, is when he was like, you know, when he swapped to the other tribe, when they had the tribe swap in Kagyan, like there would definitely be like confessionals of people being like, he's a little off, or the whole like, okay, you're going to build trust with us by telling us you lied about your job. Interesting. Like, there's going to be those moments, but there's also this sense of Tony endearing himself to the new people that he is with. There's always a sense of like, there's at least a couple of people around camp that are gleaning something worthwhile from their relationships with Tony. And not to doubt that there aren't people that are out there on Triple H that are enjoying the heck out of Joe Mina's company, and we're really just seeing the antagonistic stuff, but we're really mostly just seeing the antagonistic stuff. And that to me doesn't suggest somebody who is going to be able to actually barrel and bulldoze their way all the way to the top. I think that this is going to be somebody who is providing, who has already provided a lot of incredible fireworks through the first six episodes of the game, and I hope the show continues. I'm not ready for that to die out anytime soon. But I haven't been seeing enough that's kind of like from other people that are really weighing in on why they you know, begrudgingly like Joe, or the sides of Joe that they are seeing that they are secretly enjoying, even if he's setting off their paranoia alarms. And that's the kind of stuff that you would see with Tony during Kagyan to a degree. So I think that being missing makes me a little wary of Joe's chances in the long term. But that being said, he also had this great scene in this episode when he finds his second immunity idol and talks about why he's out here and who he's playing for and everything. So it's not like he's without those humanizing moments, but you're not really getting that from other people. And I think that that's something of a tell.
And we'll have to see if he can go to work and start to build his own group as he gets into the merge, because that the five healers, even if they stuck together, that's not going to be enough. And we did see in Kagyan that Tony was able to overcome the odds at times that he once famously talked about. Jeff, the other group, they have an alliance of numbers.
Yes.
We have an alliance of comfort. People
right.
That were happy to be working together with one another. The healers, I certainly would not describe as an alliance of comfort.
No, I don't think so. I don't think certainly at least not as a comfortable place for Joe. I think that, you know, there was talk in earlier episodes of Joe being somebody that they could possibly topple. And in her exit interview, Rourke was talking about that not being the case. You know, Rourke in her exit interview was talking about if the healers had gone to tribal before the swap, they would have, you know, somehow like, you know, they would have 3-2-1 Cole out of the game essentially, and they would have like tried to use that to build some new trust with Joe. So I think that in that phase of Survivor, in that phase of the season, it seemed like there was a lot more. There was at least, you know, there was positivity towards Joe and a desire to work with him. But I think in this stage, to me, like, this is a hard player to blend into a really big merge situation. And he's already played his idol correctly once, so do not put it past him to play it correctly again a second time. But he might need to bust that out pretty quickly, pretty early here into the merge if he wants to keep moving forward. And I think just in terms of like the long term for Joe to get to Final Tribal, that's a really tough road, it feels like to me. So if he does get there, hats off to him, you know, buffs off to that guy. But I wouldn't bet on it right now coming into the merge.
Okay, Josh, we have the wand off coming up in a bit. Okay, those of you guys who want to turn off the podcast, just get ready. Just get ready. It's coming up in about 5 minutes. This is your 5 minute warning to turn off the podcast.
Five minute warning.
Who do not want to listen to the wand off.
Okay? That's it. That's the wiggle room this week. There's nothing else beyond this point.
But before we get to that, Josh, I do have a game for you about your favorite player from Survivor 35.
Oh my God, my favorite player from Survivor 35. I wonder who that is.
And things like that.
And things like that.
Okay. Josh, that of course everybody is talking about the very quotable JP from Survivor 35. People are talking about JP quotes left and right, and so that really everything he says is iconic. That I wanted to see if you, one of the premier Survivor journalists going, would be able to recognize JP quotes when you hear one.
Going because I'm like, I'm about to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking about it every day. All right, okay. Let's do it.
So we have for you today, we have three things that JP said.
Three things like that that JP said.
Three things like that that JP said, whether they're in secret scenes or in the episode, and one thing that we made up.
One thing like that that you made up.
Okay, so just see if you can find a fake JP quote in the bunch, okay?
All right, yeah. Insert sound of me cracking my fingers into the microphone. Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins.
Okay, here we go. Number one, it's good for them if they do, and if they don't, well, we'll just move forward in the game.
Okay.
Number two, it's kind of, you know, hey, why not get rid of JP? Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Number three, with tribal council coming up, it's just, you know, one step at a time and we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right.
And number four, if one of the tribes had to lose, I think us was probably the best way to go.
Wait, you have to repeat that fourth one.
If one of the tribes had to lose, I think us was probably the best way to go.
I think us was probably the best way to go. If one of the tribes had to lose, I think us would be the best way to go.
I think us was probably the best way to go.
I think us was probably the best way to go. Oh, I hate that sentence. If that's real, I hate it. And if it's fake, I hate it even more. I hate that.
I want to warn everybody up front, I don't have the bell with me on my person.
You could mimic the noise, no?
Okay, I'll do my best.
All right. So I feel comfortable getting rid of... Comfort. I'm feeling comfortable to get rid of... enough to get rid of two and three. I'm going to knock those out. I'm going to 50-50 those out of the equation. I'm focusing on one and four. And what was number one again?
It's good for them if they do. And if they don't, well, just move forward in the game.
It's good for them if they do. And if
they don't, we'll just move forward in the game.
We'll just move forward in the game. My gut says that that's fake.
Okay.
My gut says that that's fake. But I didn't have my tri-tip salad for breakfast this morning, so I don't trust my gut right now. Let's just go with the gut. Go with the gut. And my gut's telling me to go to the number one option here.
No pumpkin, no. With tribal council coming up, it's just, you know, one step at a time. and we'll see what happens. That's fake JP.
Yeah, that's too perfect. It's very classic. Like, that really does sound exactly like the way he speaks. So you can really, that's the thing is, like, for JP is, I feel like the thing like that for JP is, I feel like you could really, you could write his dialogue. Like, I feel like the Rupert bot, whoever created the Rupert bot, making the JP bot, like, that feels like a walk in the Rourke.
Yeah, certainly a walk in the Rourke. Okay, just one more, okay? This is three real things from JP, one fake one. Here we go. Number one, we're just taking it day by day at camp, just easygoing, lounge around days, no big deal.
Yeah, that's number NBD, one. I love it.
Number two, just kind of wait and see what's coming next. Okay? Number three, I mean, you don't want to burn any bridges or, you know, do anything the wrong way.
He's right. He's right about that, if he said it.
Or number four, I'm just trying to focus on my game and, you know, just keep going.
I mean, really, flip a coin. Could be any one of those.
Three of these are iconic JP statements, Josh.
Yeah. I missed it. I missed that iconic monologuing that I must have missed. Let's just go with four. Let's just rip off the Band-Aid and say it's four. I mean, it's really, again, it really is, like, you know, it could be any one of them. It really does. It's really
ding,
impossible.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. You nailed it.
I got it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. See?
I'm just trying to focus on my game and, you know, just keep going.
Oh, my God. I'm feeling lucky. Did
nailed
we have
it.
Another set or that was
no,
it?
No, that's a, go out on a high note. Speaking of going out on a high note, that the wand off is just around the corner for those of you guys who want to pull the ripcord and get out of here.
Want to pull the ripcord.
But first, the wand off is sponsored by canvaspeople.com. I've been talking about canvaspeople.com for a few months now, and everybody I know that's tried it has said Canvas People was great. I loved it.
I love it too. I am, Christmas is right around the corner. I was listening to your podcast with David Wright the other day and realizing how close the holidays are. It's like, what am I going to get for people this year? It's like, you know what? I feel like Canvas People, there's something to that. I feel like this might be a good way to go.
CanvasPeople.com has a great offer for the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. They want you to try it out, give you special $0 pricing when you go to CanvasPeople.com. Use the promo code RHAP, select the 11x14 size, and then you will get your photo turned into a beautiful canvas work of art for $0. You just pay the shipping. It's less than $20 altogether. Secret Santa, holiday gift, whatever you're involved in, just want to decorate your house, have some holiday pictures from last year that you want to put on the walls as part of your holiday decorating for this year, get the jump on that. Canvaspeople.com. 11x14 photo is normally $69.99 plus the shipping. You will get it for that special $0 pricing when you use that promo code RHAP. Nicole and I have been using it a lot, and we really love the results. Over 1 million satisfied customers. Just go to canvaspeople.com, upload your photo, select the 11x14 size and enter promo code RHAP in the promo code box. Get that special $0 pricing. That's at canvaspeople.com. Promo code RHAP. All right, Josh, let's talk about the wand off. And again, you know, polarizing times here in our country and the world. A lot of people split on the wand off.
I don't want to engage it. I don't want to engage the split on the wand off. There's literally a split in the podcast. If you don't like the wand off, there are thousands of Survivor podcasts out there. Listen to any one of those.
Yeah.
If you like the wand off, proceed forward.
And I did see a talking point out there on social media this week that said, basically, look, I don't care. I wouldn't mind if they would just do it at the end of the podcast. That would be fine.
This is the end of the podcast.
Okay, what's your point? Because it's really long. That it's like now it's like the middle of the podcast. But there's nothing important after this.
This is the end. This is it.
There was nothing important before this.
Nothing. No. Yeah. Come on. We're trying to have fun here. Rob does 5 podcasts a week. You know, I just want to have a good time. The world's kind of bleak. Let's let the power of song fill our hearts for one podcast only.
Okay. All right. So, Josh, let's get the wand off kicked off this week. And I actually have a wand off intro for you.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Here comes the music. The parody's exclusive. What's with Wanda's confusion? Who'll win this week? Which song's rhymes are most unique? Cause the heroes wanna play. And the healers wanna save. While the hustlers go and shake. It's the Wanda. And the listeners have a say. Singing parodies all day. Muffin surely loves a bay. Wanda.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, man, I like that.
Thank you, Chad. Chad, for sending us a intro song for the Wandoff. Okay, let's get into...
Now, I love that, but I think it's an incredibly bold move for the already uber-long Wandoff that we just, like, threw in an opening song that was, like, it had to have been, like, a solid, like, okay. Minute, right?
40 seconds. We can just get to the chorus.
Waiting full every time. I was dancing up a storm. It was
great. An extended version. We can go to that next week.
You okay. Got it.
All right. Last week's results, Josh. Of course, lots of votes were cast on the Wandoff. Let me give you the top three. Coming in third place, 12.09%, was Sean with Hear Me Rourke.
I like it. I like it.
Then coming in second place, former winner of the Wandoff from earlier in the season, Shannon Gates, comes in second this time with Vote With Me, Allie.
That was a very strong effort, as always, from Shannon.
And the winner this week by a huge margin with 55.67% of the vote, Jenny and Colin are your winners with Let Me Rourke It.
Yeah, no surprise. That was really truly terrific.
When you cook for Joe, it's rapatata, rapatata. He spits it out like blah blah blah. Blah.
Rourke it.
He needs a glass of water. Healer's tribe. It was good to know ya.
Couldn't Rourke it. No more torch lit. Take the swap back, flip it, and reverse it. This referendum will cat box against. This referendum will cat box against.
Okay, so great job.
Yeah,
Jenny,
I mean, not only like the greatest song of the week, but arguably the greatest song of all time. I mean, that was the raw patatas is just about the best thing that's ever been created.
Okay, so great work by Jenny and Colin, and
see you at the final Wanda.
See you at the final Wanda. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into some of the entries that we got this week. And of course, Josh, we'd like to start off with some of the honorable / dishonorable mentions.
Is this like that segment on The Talking Dead where they'll just like go through everyone you lost this week?
Yes, although no, this is nothing like that, because that there are like 15 to 20 other entries that we're not even going to play a second of that I spent hours this morning getting ready for the Wandoff.
Yeah, just as a little bit of inside baseball, this seems to have been kind of an inside baseball type of podcast this week anyway, but like we were supposed to start recording like an hour ago,
mm-hmm.
and like it took you like an extra hour to just like sift through all the Wandoffs, so a flood of Wandoffs this week.
No joke. Okay. All right. Real quick, let's get through all of the honorable, dishonorable mentions. Josh, actually, I'm very excited this week because we're going to be at Lincoln Square for the big Survivor Know-It-Alls. And actually, Liza Minnelli is going to be showing up to perform this as the opening number.
Start spreading the news. She's leaving today. She wanted to be a part of it, but who's wrong? Who's wrong?
We're a week late on that, but that was... Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here is Jeremy, who has a song for Cole.
But Cole can't have.
That's good.
All right, let's get to the real top five honorable, dishonorable. Here is Alex with a fine young cannibals mention.
Oh man.
So bye bye, Allie. Go back to Roselle. Go back to Allie. Try a sister.
Love it.
All right. Here is number four from Jordy.
Ooh, Ryan pulled his bag of tricks now. Pulled a Tony V on episode 6 now. Might be voted out, but I'm Queen Ally still.
What was with Ryan's bag of tricks? Did I miss something?
I think they just needed a rhyme sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I thought that perhaps was concerning the censoring issues that are happening. No. Show.
Here is another person named Chrissy, but not the one from the show, with number 3.
Ryan burned her. What a shame. Burned her twice, said it's a game. Ally, it's no fun. Too soon you were gone. Your game was looking good. Josh picked you to win. Oh, Ally, you showed balls when you voted out Patrick. And you seem cool enough. Oh, Ally.
The lyric, "you seem cool enough," you killed me.
Yeah, that's really good. Can we just pause the podcast for a little bit? Because that was really personal and made me really emotional because that was my winner pick. And I'd love to just collect myself before we start back up. Just give me a
second. You can collect yourself while we listen to number 2 from from another guy named Ryan, but not the guy that voted out Ally.
Ryan Orich, it's the super fan Ryan Orich. Listen here, I have a sales pitch. Unlike Cole, I will not snitch. Ryan Orich.
That's a parody of Despacito.
Despacito.
Yeah. All these entries, all these dishonorable mentions are from people from the same name as the cast. Here's Joe with number 1, talking about the late, great Prince.
He wore a red turtleneck. The kind that Cochran wouldn't indulge. He wore a red turtleneck. Warm, he'd show off his big bulge.
That's great. Would Cochran really not endorse the turtleneck? Like, I feel like with the sweater vest and the turtleneck, that would be like when the Red Ranger gets the Green Ranger's armor in that one episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Like, too powerful.
Should be just like that. All right. Josh, all right. Here are the top 5 entries for you guys to vote on in this week's Wand Off. Okay, are you ready?
I mean, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay.
I mean, if this is, we're already through the honorable dishonorable. I mean, some of that stuff is really pretty good.
This is number 1. This is from another Ryan. This is a song called Ally, I'm Good.
Nah, nah, Ally, I'm good. I could vote for JP, but I probably should not. I got a Chrissy at home, 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 home. We met some heroes here, some hustlers there. Hashtag blindside to damn near everywhere. Hold up now, you look like a great ally. But if you ask where I'm voting tonight, I gotta be like, aw, Ally, nah, Ally. You got me all wrong, Ally. My Chrissy's already got all of my trust. So nah, nah, Ally, I'm good. I could vote for JP, but I probably shouldn't. And you're off to Ponderosa to see your hustlers, Patrick and Simone. Nah, Ally, I'm good. I could vote for JP, but I probably shouldn't. And just like we did to Rourke too, Super Idol, I will stay true. I will stay true.
All right, there you go. You like
God,
that one? Andy Grammer?
I do. The Wandoff is the greatest thing that's ever been invented from my perspective, because now I just get to like sit here for half the podcast and dance silently on the other side of the microphone as other people do the heavy lifting and creating incredible songs. Like, that was spectacular. What a beat. What a beat. Can't beat that. Can't beat that.
Okay. Let's go with number 2. This is going to be from recurring artists. This is not an original composition. This is JD and Leah.
First things first, Cole's the weakest. Passed out and let the whole tribe see it. And Joe's still in the idol business. Gotta be careful though, the sneaking might become suspicious. Right. If you wanna stay safe, Ally, you gotta get the others to vote out JP. Yeah. He's so big, he's so strong, he's so fast. Pre-merge is the spot to vote him off and things like that. Ryan's whistling all day, no one suspects that. What? He's about to put a knife in somebody's back. What? Half the vote's Jeff, where the tribe at? Ally's game just can't survive that. Bye to Ally. Only took 3 votes. It was a blindside. took a touch of a two-seat Probst. Bye to Ally. We'll miss you on the show. The tribe has spoken. Time to go.
Okay. Wow.
You're so dear Francie.
Okay.
Like, take your torch to Probst. Good. I love it. Love
That's
it.
That's a parody of Iggy Azalea.
Figgy Azalea?
Yeah. Was that Figgy Azalea or Ziggy Azalea? Was that,
it depends. Yeah. Depends on where you're from. Depends on where you're from.
Depends That's on a, where you're from.
Regional, okay. Regional, regional questions.
All right. Josh, this is going to be near and dear to your heart.
This is a song that you've heard before if you listen to the Throners.
Here is number three from Homeless Tyson.
Princess Sally, fabulous she, Ally of Yawa. Genuine, plus she's a 10 naturally.
Chrissy wanted her gone, and Twipey Ryan moved on.
You know, I just liked competitions and things like that, and then we pulled it out at
UJP.
Princess Sally, fabulous she, Ally of Yawa.
Okay. Wow. All right. I am of so many different minds that I'm not entirely sure exactly where to begin. So I'm going to try and parse through this as best as I can. First of all, when you said that it was going to be a song reminiscent of people who've listened to the Throners, I really thought we were getting into Jai-Ho. So I was at first I was disappointed that there was no Jai-Ho. So that's number one. Number two. Princess Ally of Yawa is hilarious. That's a great use of the line. That's spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to the sinister Prince Ally reprise that Jafar sings deep into Aladdin, which is the most underrated best song of the entire movie. It's genius.
Yeah.
Hey. Genius.
And we're only at number three.
I mean, technically, we're at like number 10.
I mean, technically, I'm on number like 47. For sure, but. Okay.
Anyway, it's great. All right. Great stuff.
All right. Let's go with Andrew, who sends us a song that from a artist that goes by the name Nellia. Okay.
All right.
This is about Joe Mina.
If Devin wants to try to follow me, I'll find an idle clue on the back of this tree, and then I'll dig it up at night.
Hey, Joe found an idol!
I even use the first title correctly. Maybe I am the real new Tony, but with the worst social game.
Hey, Joe found an idol!
I mean, I think a missed opportunity, it has to be pointed out, and maybe some points are docked for missing on, hey, must be the Mina. Like, I feel like that writes itself.
Okay.
But that's really great. That's terrific. I like
All
it.
Right.
Great to hear from Nalia again. I'm glad that she hasn't given up on that dream for that second chance.
Okay. And then our fifth and final entry this week are last week's reigning champions. And yes, they've already got a ticket into the wand off, but I think a great way to play defense on the wand off is keep the pool of people who have won a wand off small. Just keep winning it every week, and then there'll only be like four people in the wand off if you can knock the competition out every week. Okay, they get the coveted final spot. It's Jenny and Colin are back, and they've got a song called Without Ally.
A tasket. We just lost a bad bitch. Her name is Ally, and she goes way back with Ginger Patrick. He can move your mattress, but that didn't stop that bomb from cracking. Joby, just another guy like Tony, both idle, fine, and bald-headed homies. On SoCo Beach, Ally went home. It's over. Why'd Ryan vote with the hero? She didn't know. He gave Chrissy the idol, got screwed by a twist about which he can't control. That there's Cole, he's hungry as a hippo. He fell down, I guess that his blood sugar was low.
But sometimes the edit just seems everybody's gonna go vote out JP. But this must be a red herring. The votes I see are for Ali. And though she's not the first queen to go pre-jury, she is the best thing since Wentworth Kelly. So bring her back as a returnee so she can win and become wealthy.
Hey!
Here's a concept that works. 20 million new survivors emerge, but no matter how many more hit the beach, this season sucks without Ali.
Now what has this tribe done to me? Why couldn't they vote out JP or maybe even blindside Chrissy? Because the season sucks without Ali.
Now Ryan's being a little dweeb. He's voting with his new mommy. What happened to his hustler team? This season sucks without Ali.
Oh my god!
Sure.
Wow. Wow, Wanda getting some side cash that I wasn't aware of.
Okay. She's a hustler too.
Hey, listen, no harm, no foul. You got to make your money where you can make it. Great stuff there.
Don't
great
hate
stuff.
The player, hate the game.
Ryan hanging out with his new mommy kills me. I think that's very funny. That's hysterical. Yeah, the mommy alliance is in effect. That's great. Great stuff, especially a strong effort after a winning effort in the week before to turn that around so quickly with a Wanda shirt cameo. No less. Not a. Let me just say for the record, not an official authorized Wanda Shirt cameo, but you know.
All right. With the help of the great tabulator, we will have the ballot up for you guys to vote on who should win this week's Wanda off heading into the merch.
I love it. I love it. Fantastic stuff as always from you Wanda offers. It's impressive. The Survivor community, you guys are freaking hilarious.
Yeah. And of course,
really funny people out there.
Want to send an entry in wiggle room at robhaswebsite.com. Be sure to put wand off in the subject. All right. Is that it? Is that the end of the show?
Yeah. So that's the end of the show, other than to say, look, so last week we had the Halloween episode. We had Gordon Holmes on. It was fantastic. It was scary because Wanda was haunting us the entire time. And I think by the end of it, we had resolved, okay, like Wanda's in the wiggle room. If she wants to do the Wanda Rotsy, she's got to do the Wanda Rotsy. She's got to do what she's got to do. She's here in the wiggle room. But like, I think at the same time, like, do we need to, like, every time the wand off ends, like, we're going to get into the Wanderati again? Like, that's just kind of expected every single time. So in the spirit of you can turn the podcast off before the wand off, I think it's only fair that you can turn the podcast off before the Wanderati. So I think in collaboration with Wanda, she's cool with this. We talked this through email in between podcasts. Wanda's still on the show, but she'll close it out. We'll just put her as, like, the end credit song. You don't have to hear her unless you really want to ride the podcast all the way through the finish line. So that's where Wanda's going to be. Wanda's just going to chill in the credits, Rob.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Seems fair, right? Like, that seems like a really delicate balance. Like, Wanda's still in the wiggle room. She doesn't have to be, like, heard by everybody. Like, you really just have to finish the podcast and then you'll get your Wanda fix every week.
All right. Well, boy, this is we really have to, you know, kowtow to all of the different constituencies out there.
There's a lot of people with a lot of opinions on the world. We're just doing our best, and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. All right. Josh Wiggler, great job, of course, that you can get even more Survivor coverage from Josh Wiggler every week at The Hollywood Reporter when you go to thr.com/survivor. Read everything that Josh Wiggler is putting out there. And of course, to see everything that Josh Wiggler is doing, Survivor and otherwise, follow Josh on Twitter. He is at Round Howard.
That's me. Can't forget a hashtag this week, and it's got to be hashtag Love Tri-Tip.
Love Tri-Tip. That's right. There you go. And very excited to see you in person this week, Josh.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Can't wait. Looking forward to the Know-It-Alls, the movie. That's going to be a fantastic experience. Hope you guys who are listening are going to be at the show. And if you see me, please just say hi. I would love to talk to you. That would be great. It's one of my favorite things to do. This is always such a fun time to meet fellow Survivor fans and people who love the show. And I will happily nerd out with anybody who wants to nerd out about Survivor. So looking forward to it. It's going to be
fun. I'm very excited excited about the movie concessions. What's your go-to movie concession? Not a tri-tip,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, not a tri-tip. This was the subject of a recent TV show, if I do recall. I don't know that I'm going to do like pouring like candy into a cup of popcorn move. Like, that does seem extreme. I think like you can have popcorn and then you can have something else, but to just dump it all in one basket seems intense. I like the Sour Patch stuff. I like the like a sour watermelons if you got them. I think I'll go for those, but some sort of chocolatey component seems nice as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm very excited about everything. If you want to be there with us in person, enjoy all of the concessions. It should be a really fun show. Not just the episode, but the podcast as well. Come and join us in person. RobHasAWebsite.com/S35KIA. And of course, that we are going to have a news AF between now and then. A lot more coming up on post show recaps. My recap of The Walking Dead with Jessica Lease is already posted on postshowrecaps.com. Check everything else out that's going on there. Mr. Robot with Josh Wigler and Antonio Mazzaro and much more. Postshowrecaps.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Wiggle Room exclusive time.
Now on
the sixth one voted out has a first name that rhymes with Radke. That's right. Her name's Allie. Elliot the hustler who spent time in school with Patty. Bolton, Bolton, Patty. Closing credits time. It kind of feels like it's a consolation prize. See you right back here for next week's Wanda Postgres.